But first, Felicia Day. Felicia is best known for her work in the web video world, both in front of and behind the camera. She co-starred in Joss Whedon's internet musical, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. She also created and starred in the pioneering web series, The Guild. And she's appeared in such TV shows and films as Supernatural, The Magicians, and Mystery Science Theater 3000. Felicia is also a writer. Her latest book is called Embrace Your Weird, Face Your Fears, and Unleash Creativity.
I was really inspired over the years by how many people came up to me and told me that the things that I do, online and offline, inspired them to be more creative. I actually wrote a memoir called You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost. It was 3 years ago now. And I told my story of being a strange homeschool girl who went to college way too early and then moved to LA just expecting to be a star, and it didn't quite work out that way, and how all the things that I encountered made me stronger and also kind of spurred me to start making my own content. And I started making web series online way before anybody was doing anything online, and that really made my career. And when I told that story, a lot of people would come up to me after reading the memoir and say, hey, I started making things because of you. I started writing or making art. And also, I got help for anxiety and depression. And those two things were themes in my book that were really strong to me as a person. And so inspiring people to get over those sort of humps and obstacles themselves made me want to make another book that was more about the reader than just about my own journey.
Which is what you've done. You've written this new book, Embrace Your Weird, as a workbook, and it features many whimsical sketches and a lot of exercises for the reader to delve into. This makes your book a very immersive, interactive experience. It seems to me that this is a really important part of your book because it gets the reader creating right away. Was that kind of what you were thinking?
Absolutely. You know, I think I originally conceived it more as a workbook and less of writing, actually. I have a small daughter, and I was reading a book about how we learn and how when you get your body into something physically, especially when you're writing or just doing, you learn it a lot easier. You learn it a lot more organically, and it sticks with you. And so I knew that kind of the process of doing while reading was going to be really important to me. And I'm a person who lives online, you know. My audience is always one click away from me. And so having that relationship with my audience where I talk about something like procrastination and then I hand it over to the audience. What are you going to do with what I just said? Let's play together. Having that sort of online interaction in a book form was kind of challenging. It was very challenging to crack the format of it. But when I did, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted to make.
It's interesting that you mentioned playful because, as you say in the book, playfulness is at the root of all creation. And your book has this very playful kind of stream of consciousness writing style, which finds you including a lot of comic riffs and humorous tangents. It also helps to take some of the intimidation out of being creative, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm here because I've read self-help books over the years. I did Artist Way. I did a lot of other books that kind of helped me get over my barriers and the blocks that I had to get my voice out there. And after I had a baby, I kind of fell apart again because I had to reinvent myself. When you have a child enter your world, it is a seismic earthquake, and you have to kind of reevaluate who you are and what your priorities are in life because you don't quite have enough time for yourself nearly as much as you did before you had a baby. And so this book was kind of the process of putting myself back together, kind of repiecing myself. The core of it is about finding your identity in a playful way because when I went back to those books that kind of resonated with me earlier in my life, they didn't resonate the way that they did in the past. And so I wanted to write my version that was a little less lectury, a little less spiritual in a sense, woo-woo-y, and just fun. Because at the heart of it, if we're playing, we're doing something organic to ourselves. We're doing something because of the joy of it. Because in looking at my toddler, I realize everything she does is creative, and it's all out of joy. There's none of these rules that we learn in life, and I wanted people to kind of unlearn all those rules.
It's funny that you mentioned you wanted to write something that was a little less luxury, because I would say this is more than a little less luxury, which is one of the great things about it. And now would be the ideal time to have you read an excerpt.
Yeah, this is from Our Hero Selves is a big section of the book, and it kind of describes kind of breaking yourself down and just self-evaluating a little. I don't think we're really encouraged to evaluate ourselves for ourselves in life very much. We're encouraged to evaluate ourselves for others' consumption a lot with social media and things, but I think the greatest gift we can give ourselves is self-knowledge. And so this is from the book about who we are now and how we can treat ourselves and take that into the future as we create. So in order to be creative, we need to befriend all parts of ourselves. Our passions and our unique experiences, whatever they may be, need to know they're welcome to join the US party and be reassured that the invitation won't ever be rescinded. Don't worry, I won't abandon you just because my roommate Dave thinks anime swords aren't good wall decorations. It's worth alienating a few people to free up your creativity. You were just pretending to get along with Dave anyway. Hiding who we are takes work, and it's work that betrays who we are. So don't bother.
That was great. Great reading, and I love that Dave tangent. That's great. One of many great tangents throughout the book. You say that we all have our own unique ideas and interests that make us quote-unquote weird. So I'm curious, what do you think it is that makes you weird?
Oh, well, I think I was able to sort of uncover a lot of that in my work, actually. I mean, I came to prominence, in a sense, when I started writing a web series about gamers. It was called The Guild. Mm-hmm. I wrote and I acted in it. I produced it. I uploaded it to the internet. And getting my voice out there in a way that other people said, oh, people don't want to know about that. They don't really understand gamers. They don't believe you're a gamer because you're a woman. All those things. And being brave and just kind of leading with that. I actually made my career in a sense. Actually, after the excerpt I just read, there is one of my favorite exercises is it's a drawing of a toolbox. And in the toolbox, the reader is supposed to put all the things that makes them different or unique or stand out. And that's essentially your creator toolbox. Mm-hmm. So whenever you start to create something, you should look in your toolbox and see, oh, what is it that makes me unique? How is my perspective on the world and as an individual going to stand out? That's what we should mine for our artistic endeavors. Like, no one ever shared a video because it looked like every other video they watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
They share it because it's unique and it pops out and they learn something about themselves or the world. You know, I think in life we're dissuaded from leading with our weirdnesses, but really that's where our greatest fulfillment comes. I was a homeschool kid. I went to college really early. I love board games. I love dragons. I don't like to go out at night. I love cooking. You know, there's a lot of different things that make me kind of stand out from the average person. And we all have that. And so those are our strengths that we should really dive into. Because when we love those aspects of ourselves, I think it's when we feel most settled and happy.
Yeah. As you write in your book, we're already doing creative things, but we just don't think of them as being creative things. It seems to me that maybe we have to come up with a new definition of the word creativity. What do you think?
Yeah, I think at the core of it that creativity is sort of almost a bar that we have to look up at to be like, oh, well, I can't do that. I mean, we think of creativity as, you know, Mozart, who's done symphonies at age 4, right? Or people that we considered paint magically. And we don't ever see the process of people's who we admire and consume their works as work. And I think that's a big theme in the book, mm-hmm. is that we need to embrace work. Nobody ever created a masterpiece with no sweat, no tears. I mean, I use an example of Lin-Manuel Miranda writing Hamilton. And of course, we experience 2.5 hours of brilliance that he wrote. And we don't appreciate it took him 6 agonizing years to create that. Not only create it, but try it out, rewrite it, completely tear it apart again and rewrite it again. And so I think in this world of only seeing the glossy, perfect version of everything, we feel intimidated that we don't know where to start, and we get discouraged when it gets a little bit hard along the way. And so to me, embracing the fact that creativity is work, but it can be playful work, and the work is the reward, getting that sort of mindset really helps us get through all those things that kind of pop up as we're making something. Oh no, I don't know what to do here. I'm going to procrastinate instead. Mm-hmm. I'm a perfectionist. I can't really put my pen on paper because I don't want it to be bad, quote unquote, whatever that means. Embracing and acknowledging that everything is work really will help us just maintain something in our life a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest lessons I think you've learned in your journey throughout your career is learning not to feel guilty about your weirdness and to instead wield it as a superpower. How did you manage to do that?
It was a long journey because I was homeschooled and I was kind of a little prodigy when it came to the violin. I was a violinist early on and I got a full scholarship to that. And I went to college at 16. And so I was in a very small world up until I moved to Los Angeles. And my work was proportionate to my success, really. The harder you practice, the better you are. The more math you study, the better you are at the tests, right? And then I get to Hollywood where it's not really merit-based in a sense. You can act 8 hours a day and that doesn't guarantee you a job at the end of it. It's a lot more about how people see you and the category they put you in. It was very discouraging. And so I guess my big wake-up was later in life than most people because a lot of kids get bullied for their weirdnesses early on and they start hiding it and being very good at kind of keeping their differences from the world early on in their life. And I didn't have that. I guess, privilege, or I guess it could be a good thing. And so it was a big struggle in Hollywood, where I don't look like every other actress and I don't act like them. My interests aren't the same. And no matter how many classes I took, it didn't help me overcome my anxiety when I went into an auditioning room, and it didn't make me a better actress, and it didn't get me, you know, a better career. And so I got frustrated in that sense. And I started trying to hide what made me different and conform to what they might like. And in doing that, I started betraying myself in a sense, because it doesn't matter how hard we try to distance ourselves from who we truly are, we're always that person underneath. And inside, we know we're betraying ourselves in a sense.
Yeah.
I believe the greatest tragedy is for people to live an inauthentic life to who they are. And I think creativity is a way that even if you don't know exactly who that person is, that's how you figure it out, by doing the doing of creativity, whether it's knitting or painting or writing. You get to know yourself through creativity. And I think that's kind of what I want people who read the book to take away, that creativity is self-care, and that whatever makes you different is the thing that you should love most about yourself.
Absolutely. As you were saying earlier, that's what makes you stand out from the crowd. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you experience a sudden moment of realization, an epiphany that caused you to embrace your weirdness?
I was very afraid when I first started making videos because I didn't know if people would like it or not. And then in doing the process of doing the making of the videos with my friends, I was like, I don't care how people receive this. I am making something that is my art, you know, in a sense. Like, we're making comedy videos for the internet. I didn't change the world necessarily, but I made something that gave me that sense of fulfillment,
yeah,
in a way that wasn't about what other people would like from me. And I kind of doubled down on this when I had a baby. Like I said, this book coincided with having a toddler and trying to figure out, what do I have to get rid of that can make more time for this child? But also, at a certain point, I was cutting out so many things. I was like, who am I? What is left here? And so it made me really be contemplative about what do I like doing versus what do I do because other people will like it of me. Especially with women, I think we have a real problem with that, because we blur the line of self and what self is for other people. And when I started kind of hacking away at everything, I discovered, like, well, maybe I don't know exactly what's fueling me right now in my life, but I know these other things I'm doing for other people. And if I get rid of them, I will get space and I can start to create and get to know myself again, because, you know, we all change as we get older. And it was a really rewarding process. So I can't say it was an overnight aha.
Mm-hmm.
The overnight aha was that I was trying to please people who would never be pleased in Hollywood. And then also the aha that I could not please anybody, I'm still a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think it's pretty simple now, but I wish I had known it like 20 years ago. It would have saved me a lot of grief.
Felicia Day, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Felicia Day is an actress, content creator, and the author of Embrace Your Weird, Face Your Fears, and Unleash Creativity. Find out more about Felicia at wpr.org/beta.
You know, you're very aware now with phones when someone called, but my father, when he leaves me voicemails, he'll be like, 2:30 here in Wisconsin, 12:30 your time.
Wisconsin stand-up comedian Gareth Reynolds joins us to talk about his debut album, Riddled with Disease, and making it in Hollywood. That's coming up in a minute. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.